Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
Welcome to Technology Translated. I'm your host, Scott Ellis. And this week, we're going to talk about something a little bit different in that we're not digging into specific technology as much as we are discussing the idea of technology adoption and the fear that many people and companies have, the resistance they have to adopting or evolving technology within their organizations, and how to help them overcome that and make that transition a little bit easier, a little bit more seamless for them. Our guest this week is David Hartley. David is a principal at the St. Louis office of UHY Advisors, and he has nearly 25 years of C-suite and executive consulting and audit experience. At UHY, David is focused on delivering technology expertise to meet the needs of usually closely held private and mid-market businesses, which is going to apply to a lot of you. Prior to joining UHY, David was the vice president and CIO at Arch Coal. And Dave and I worked together at Protivity once upon a time, long before that. So in particular, we're going to dive into Dave's expertise with helping the organizations that he works with now do a better job of adopting or evolving their use of technology and get a few lessons out of this on how you can do the same in your company, whether you're the executive that is tasked with helping your company to change and update technology, or whether you are an employee of that company and are seeking to champion this with your executives. Let's get into the show.
All right, Dave Hartley, thank you for joining me on Technology Translated. It's great to have you here. We haven't had a chance to catch up in a while.
It has been a while. Thank you, Scott. It's good to be here.
So for everyone's benefit, Dave and I were both at Protivity once upon a time, an excellent risk management consulting firm.
Yep.
I actually worked under Dave in Strategic Alliances, and we've both moved on to do other things, but here we are now. And Dave is – well, you're going to explain this better than I am, so I'm going to let you take it. But if I can cue it up, you are working at – you're working as a principal at UHY.
Correct.
Helping companies to adopt technology.
That's right.
Now, so, I'll let you elaborate on that.
Okay. So the formal – so I'm a principal in the technology advisory services practice. So the obvious answer is, okay, that's great. What does that mean? So UHY – so I'm at UHY Advisors here in St. Louis, Missouri. And in St. Louis, we have – UHY has an excellent client base, a lot of wonderful profitable companies. But when you look at their history, what made them so successful was not necessarily technology. So now a number of them are at critical points in terms of looking at the future and figuring out which direction they want to go, how technology, how digital is part of their overall strategy, and helping them get comfortable with making those decisions and then setting a direction and then working on execution. So it's everything from advising and giving people ideas up front to then helping them with execution, helping them find partners, basically accomplishing the business goals that they need to do using technology.
My first question is, when you're working with companies for whom technology has not been as significant a part of the equation, how do you even begin to get them to start to adopt technology? Because that's scary for a lot of people, much less for a company where there's potentially a lot of financial and other risk involved.
Yeah. And I think probably the biggest factor that really, when you step back and think about, you know, how this process gets started, probably one of the first things you bump into is exactly what you mentioned, which is fear. And I think there are a lot of people who are intimidated by technology. And you have a lot of extremely bright, intelligent people who have a fantastic career, built an amazing business, but technology was not the reason that they're immensely successful. So helping people overcome that fear. And I think a big part of why I'm able to talk to my client successfully is because we talk business. We don't necessarily talk technology. We talk business first. We understand what's happening in the business. What are the objectives? What are you trying to do? Then we can layer on how technology can help with that.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you said that because that's usually the one of the starting points that I bring to people. Now, my technology expertise primarily is web applications, websites, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I always start at the same point, and that is, what are your business goals? And then how do we get the technology to fit that? Whereas a lot of people get excited and they start seeing the shiny new technology or whatever that may be, and they want to investigate and learn more, which is a good, healthy thing. But they're kind of taking the backward approach where they're starting with the tech instead of with really what the business goal is.
Yeah. And that's why I think that, you know, your title for this show, I think, is exactly spot on, you know, technology translated. And that's what I try to be for my clients, is to, you know, fully respect their skills and expertise, but yet recognize that I have some knowledge in an area where I can help them. And by coming at it in those business terms, as opposed to thinking just strictly about technology, or, hey, you know, here's a 3.4 chip versus a 2.6, or this kind of router versus something else, you know, that's not extremely relevant. Ultimately, it is. But in terms of setting back and looking at strategy and business objectives and those type of things, it's really, you know, you have to understand what's possible. And that is a lot of what I talk with our clients about, which is starting to at least be comfortable enough to appreciate and understand what technology can do for you and for your competitors.
Ooh, yeah. The competitive analysis piece of that is interesting too. I could do a whole show just on that, I think. I'm going to pull something directly out of an article you wrote recently, and I want to talk specifically about this.
Okay.
Because I think it hits right on the point of getting people to adopt. And I will link out to this article in the show notes, but Dave published a top 10 list for 2016 on LinkedIn, and just had some great points in it. So number two was ask more questions. It says, yeah. I'm going to read verbatim here. One of the greatest obstacles to succeeding with technology is fear. How many times have you not tried something because you didn't feel confident about what you were doing and didn't want to look foolish? Change your thinking to embrace that fear of the unknown. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You might be surprised at how open most people are to answering questions, especially millennials. Face your fear and ask for help. And by the way, answering those questions is what this show is all about. So please ask away. But I want to talk some more about that, because overcoming that fear is a very hard thing to do for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think asking questions is a good natural way to do that. But don't people often feel afraid of just asking the questions?
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, you look at sort of, you know, historically, I think sort of tech guys, quote unquote, have gotten a bad rap for, you know, you go back 5, 7, 10 years ago and, you know, you need some help on something and there's a guy that comes into your office and, you know, doesn't necessarily make you feel better about yourself when that person leaves. And, you know,
I've probably been guilty of that. I'm sorry to interrupt.
So I think, you know, so over time, I think, and it used to be technology was incredibly, you know, it did require a great degree of specialization. It did require a great degree of in-depth understanding to make things happen. And I think the amazing thing that's really happened, really, I would say over the last 2 to 3 years is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the consumerization of technology. But I think it really is hugely important that now it really does impact your personal life on a day-to-day basis. And when you look at how we use technology, mobile phones, it really has changed, I think, how people should think about technology. And really, that's happened just within the last couple of years, that it's really become that significant.
We're going to move forward because there's another – I keep looking at all these great bullet points, and I wish we had time to talk about them all. Another one that you addressed was resolving to act on information security.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that for a minute, because a lot of people do, and you mentioned this in your article, they have the feeling that, you know, we're too small, nobody's going to attack us, we're going to fly under the radar, but that isn't really the case, and I want you to explain why.
Well, I think it's, you know, so you're right. The concept of security through obscurity, I think, you know, did work for a while because you were just an IP address. Nobody really knew. And now you have an increasing degree of sophistication of people out there who, you know, are interested, intrigued. And then you also have a lot of bad actors that are out there. And when you look at what they're doing, what their approaches are, unfortunately, you still see the nation states going after the major Fortune 100 companies, but you're also a lot more middle market, private, closely held companies that we're hearing more about, you know, well, you know, we just got somebody. And so we had a wire that was about to go out for a significant amount of money for a small company. But thankfully, our bank called and said, hey, are you sure you want to do this? So we're hearing those types of things more and more that are happening at companies where, you know, their profile historically is not something that would set them up as a significant target.
Yeah, and I think it's those are super good points. And I hope everybody that maybe is considering or needs to go a little bit deeper on their security for their company will rewind and re-listen to all of that. The only add I would make is that a lot of the situations where there's a hack or some kind of attack going on is often automated. It's not that somebody is specifically targeting you. They're just scanning the internet and looking for vulnerabilities. So too small doesn't really apply because they don't necessarily know or even care, right? They're just looking for an open port or something that they can exploit, and they're going to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and the tough part is that for the bad guys, they just need one. So they may try 100 different techniques, different ways to get into your organization, way to social engineer your employees. But if they get lucky once, then unfortunately, you know, that puts you at risk. You have to defend against all 100 of those, but all they need is one to make it through.
Yeah, so don't be that one.
Yeah, which is tough.
It is. I mean, there's always some vulnerability. I don't think you can ever be 100% secure, but there are a lot of fundamental things that people can do, and guys like Dave can help you figure out what those are. But basic things that you can do depending on your infrastructure and your needs to greatly reduce the risk that that will happen to you.
Yeah. One thing I'd mention is that, you know, we have clients that get extremely in-depth on the security side of things, where they go incredibly deep in a particular area. And unfortunately, you know, you have to think of it in terms of technology is important, but equally as important are people. Have your people been trained? Do they understand the risk? And then process. Do you have the basic things in place that will shore up a significant percentage of your risk? Then, you know, there are other things that you can do, but a lot of times people and companies don't do some of those basic things. If you just educate your employees, that will make a huge impact on reducing your risk profile. So I think there's a lot of those things that sort of mid-sized companies haven't been really, you know, they haven't done a lot of that in the past. And I think it's difficult sometimes to start new things. And that's one of the things that I would recommend is really educate your employees, make them aware of the risk, and, you know, bring them in to, you know, protecting your organization.
All right. I'm going to do a little throwback to Protivity here.
Okay.
I'm going to get flogged for not remembering all of them, but we had something there that Protivity was a big part of how we did things, and that was the six elements of infrastructure. And I don't know if that was specifically Protivity. Do you remember all of that?
I do.
Remember the six?
I do. Yes.
People was one of those, right? I mean, that was an often overlooked point of failure in any process in security in any number of places. And I think it's one that we easily forget about. But when it comes to security, that's probably the number one area I would say for people to focus on, because 9 times out of 10, if there's some kind of an exploit, somebody somewhere did something they shouldn't have or didn't do something they should have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and a lot of times that goes back to, you know, sometimes it's good to create fear, but, you know, if you're to the point where people aren't comfortable with technology and you talk to them about this and, you know, they hear it like it's Greek and it doesn't make any sense to them, well, then it's not going to be effective. So you have to figure out how can we do it at a level that helps our employees understand the risk. So you have to focus on the basics. You have to talk in business terms. You can't be overly focused on technology jargon, because the average person, if you're in accounting or HR, you know, that doesn't make that you just have to think more broadly in terms of, I need to communicate with these people at all levels, everybody from, you know, C levels within the organization down to clerical level people, because your risk is throughout the entire organization and everybody contributes to the risk and can also contribute to the success of the organization.
So I guess if we were going to sum all that up, and we could do a whole episode on security, and maybe we'll come back and do that before long, Dave.
Okay.
But security is not just an IT problem. I think that's the big takeaway, right? This is something that everybody has to be involved with.
Yeah. And I think, you know, setting expectations with your team so that they understand stuff on, and you need to be aware of it. And here's the role that you can play. And I think, you know, if people are given that and sort of brought into the protection, then, you know, I think it goes a lot better for these organizations, because then everybody's on the same page. Everybody's striving to achieve the same goal.
All right. Let's move forward, because there's a few other things I definitely want to make sure we hit while we're having this conversation.
Okay.
In terms of technology adoption, and again, we're here today talking about how to overcome the fear and the obstacles of adopting technology, of adopting new technologies, whatever the case may be. Your point five, you said explore video. The harsh reality is that no one reads anymore. I'm not happy to hear that, but then again, here I am doing
that's
audio.
That's a little bit strong. That's but that's intended to make a point that really, you know, a lot of, you know, historically how we communicate information, a lot of it is written. And you look at, all of us have too much email. All of us have too many things on our desk that we haven't read that we want to read. And then you look at how the world has changed in terms of how people are consuming information and how they're educating themselves. And a huge part of that is video. So yes, I think that is really important to sort of understand and get grounded that that is really going to be key to the future. So I better start dealing with it sooner rather than later.
Do you think that video is something that applies to, I don't want to say every business, but almost every business? And I'm going to go back to your experience as the CIO of Arch Coal, a coal company. Would video have been appropriate there, or do you think maybe there are instances where video is not going to make sense for some companies?
Well, I think, you know, for the most part, we're comfortable communicating by phone. We're comfortable being on conference calls. And when you add in that element of video, it does take a little bit of getting used to. A lot of people would wonder, well, you know, does it really give you that much better of an experience if you're using video as opposed to just purely audio? It's really uncomfortable because you're not used to seeing yourself. You know, I think those are the things that, you know, you need to get comfortable. So even within a coal company, you know, we tried to push video to get people more and more comfortable with it, because over time you start to see more and more opportunities that involve video. For example, you know, every company, every organization is involved in selling either a product or a service. Only how well you can communicate to your customers that could use that product or service, that's really a huge determination in terms of whether you're going to be successful or not. So I think being able to look at video as another delivery mechanism, because the things you've been doing forever, putting out white papers, putting out product briefs, they may not be as effective as they have been in the past. So what could you do that would sort of move that in a different direction? And that's where I think video is important.
Your examples on video were very interesting to me, because typically when we start talking about video, people are instantly thinking YouTube, Vine, things like that. But there are a number of other video uses where exploring video really is not just about publishing content on YouTube, but it could be used in video conferencing, you know, purely an internal dialogue between two people. We could be talking about using video. Drones. Look at the popularity of drones the last few years. And if I'm going to kind of make this up, maybe it's a bad example, but just to illustrate the point, if there was something happening at a coal mine somewhere and we had video that we could show to people inside of a company like Arch Coal, if we needed to discuss something that was going on, but they could actually see it and visualize it, There's another use case, right? So video doesn't have to mean YouTube. Think about other ways you can use
it. Yeah, that's a great point. So let me just give you an example from my personal life, which I think that's really how you start to learn these things, is there are so many consumer-focused technologies now that are incredibly powerful. So, you know, one that I'll turn to is FaceTime on your iPhone or your iPad. So here's a great example. So yesterday, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who was trying to buy tickets to a concert that she was extremely interested to, and she wanted to know about the pre-sale and those types of things. So I sent her, I happened to have some information, so I sent her, you know, the password and those types of things, and she responded back, you know, oh, I can't get it to work, and I had already tried it, so I knew that I was able to get it to work, but I couldn't figure out how can I show her, you know, because she physically is probably 10 or 12 miles from where I am. How can I help this person? And so I was on the – so she called, and so we were talking over the phone, and I still couldn't get over that hurdle. And I said, do you have your iPhone with you? Because I knew I had texted with her in the past. And she said yes. And I said, well, let's jump on FaceTime, and then I will hold my camera up to the computer monitor so you can see what I'm doing and how I'm getting that password to work. And so she was initially kind of – you know, wasn't thinking that way. And then she got out her phone. We connected through FaceTime. So we talked for a minute face to face. And then I held up my phone to the screen and showed her exactly what I was doing and how I was able to get some of that to work where she wasn't able to. So immediately she was able to recognize what she was doing wrong and was able to correct that and then ultimately get to the thing that she wanted to do. So more and more of those types of situations I think are going to be showing up in a business context. And if you have that experience, if you're comfortable with the technology, you'll think of new applications for using technology that you never would have come up with if you weren't doing things like experimenting with video. One other thing that I'll mention is that, you know, it used to be that video was incredibly bandwidth intensive and we couldn't handle it, and it was a real challenge to work with. I mean, if you haven't worked with one of the new sort of video, personal video streaming apps and services, you know, being Periscope or Meerkat, it's amazing. So when you look at anybody, anywhere, anytime can use these services, you just download the app for free and suddenly you're able to broadcast to the world. And, you know, both Periscope and Meerkat, it's been amazing to watch over the last year the different applications that people have come up with and how they can start using that that technology in a different way than has ever existed before, because we never had that capability. And that's where I think that, you know, those types of things, familiarizing yourself with technology, understanding the tools that are available to you. I mean, that's what people have been doing for decades that have made them successful. Now, one of those tools I think that's going to drive success is technology.
Let's go back and start talking about the people here. In point 9 of your article, you said, make your unofficial IT guy official. I can so relate to the unofficial IT guy role. It's not even funny because I play that role for my family. But in a business, and especially a lot of small businesses, right, there's that one guy that just seems to understand computers better than everybody else. And so that's who they run to whenever there's a need.
Yep.
But you're advocating for making that guy or somebody the full-time, dedicated, focused IT person.
Yeah. A lot of the clients that I'm getting to work with now, you know, are smaller. You know, when I was at Arch, we had, you know, we had a large IT organization with a lot of people with deep skill sets in particular areas. When you start to get to some of these, you know, middle market companies, they aren't going to have that depth of staff to the point that even some maybe have never had an IT function, quote unquote, that has existed as part of the organization in the past. So what you have is a lot of things that are happening because you have to figure out technology to be successful nowadays. So you have a lot of people that are doing that sort of through an informal network of, you know, this guy just happens to know this or happens to know that. And what I think is helpful is to really say, hey, this is important. If it's really important, then we need to figure out how do we promote it, how do we measure it, how do we recognize it, how do we reward? And I think that's important to say, you know, which is really kind of a theme of all of these 10 points, which is, you know, technology is It's really important. It matters to everyone. And you need to really, you know, step back and think at all levels throughout all the organization, if it's really important and it's going to drive success, how do we start to bake it into the organizational structure? How do we start to put in those rewards and incentives for people to start, you know, trying technology and doing things? How do you encourage that type of behavior? A lot of times within an organization where people aren't incredibly comfortable with technology, nor do they have a lot of in-house resources for helping them with technology. And that's where I think as business executives, as they look strategically down the road, you have to be thinking about how do I get my organization more comfortable with technology? How do I get them more willing to try things so that we can figure out what works and move on and improve the probability of success on down the road? And I think that's just a huge thing for business executives to be thinking about.
So as an executive, if you were responsible for implementing this in your own company or for the company that you worked for, and getting people comfortable with technology, rolling out new technologies that people are going to have to use. People are often resistant. You know, we've done our job a certain way for a long time. It works. It feels like a lot of extra work to learn something new. How would you go about helping those employees adapt to those changes? Because I think as much as anything, that's what makes people resistant, is just that either fear or the added effort of going through the change.
Yeah. And I think you're exactly right. And I think one of the main things that I think is critical for companies to start with is going back to one of our earlier points, which is acknowledging the fear and sort of getting it all on the table that, you know, hey, this is important to us and it's different for all of us. So all of us need to be thinking about how can this change what we're doing? Is there something that I can do with technology that, you know, is better than how I've been doing things in the past? And a lot of times that's not going to be immediately apparent. You're not suddenly going to see an app and say, oh, this will change, and you'll know exactly how things will change. It's a process of getting comfortable with technology. And I think, you know, if I had to, one of the most important things I think is, and there's a great book, Start With Why. And I think if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it, Simon Sinek. But if you really start and explain to people, look, guys, this is going to be a part of the future. And our success is going to hinge on whether we're able to take this tool and use it better than our competitors. So we don't know exactly what is going to happen right now, but we have to start looking at this. We have to start thinking about it. We have to start spending some money on it and figure out how it's going to affect organization long term. And I think that's what's incumbent on business executives to do, is to explain the why. This is why we're doing what we're doing. And then once you have that, then you can start. This is the how. This is what we're going to do. These are some of the techniques or tactics that we're going to use to help get this ball rolling. And I think doing that sort of acknowledgement and communicating on a strategic level, this is important. So we should be doing something about it, and I need your help to help us succeed in making this happen.
Yeah, Simon's book, that Why, and his explanation of that is fantastic, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. He talks about it largely from a marketing standpoint in some of the presentations I've seen him make, but it definitely applies to a lot of situations, and I like using that for – explaining and helping your employees overcome that fear of change.
Yeah, and that philosophy I think is great, not only in business, but also, you know, if you're trying to affect some change anywhere, whether it's a not-for-profit that you volunteer with or with your family, and you're trying to do something and they don't know why, and you haven't communicated to them, this is why we're going to try this, or either this is important. You know, it's sort of a fundamental, you can't expect people to care about what you're doing unless you've taken the time to explain to them, here's why this is important to me, and here's why we're going to do what we're going to do.
All right, Dave, so we're going to go out on this. If I were to give you one, maybe two technology things, it could be software, it could be hardware, it could be processes, or anything you would like it to be, that you think companies should start looking at in the broadest sense, most companies would benefit from now, what would they be?
Yeah, Scott, that's a great question and a really tough question, because when you know, as I'm sitting here thinking through, it's tough to figure out you know, what you should do. But I think the themes of experimentation and explaining the why. I think, you know, and for every organization, it is different. And that's, you know, and I think that's an important point too, which is you have to understand the maturity of where your organization is. If your organization has never done any video conferencing and it's sort of a new concept, and suddenly you say, hey, we're going to be using Periscope to do this or do that, you know, the leap is too far. So one of the things I think is absolutely essential is understanding where you are, figuring out, you know, are my people comfortable with technology? Do I have a mix of sort of boomers all the way to millennials? And, you know, what is my organization makeup? How comfortable are my people? And then when I look at where they are, trying to figure out, okay, well, where do I want them to go? Where do we need to be? And if so, I think understanding the where you are now, figuring out the where we're going, and then I think the technology, the couple of things that you mentioned, I think is going to differ greatly based on the answer to those two questions. So by understanding where you're at and where you're going, I think that will help you determine, okay, so based on that, I need to start, you know, whether it's getting people, you know, comfortable using FaceTime, or I need, you know, you may have an organization that, you know, still communicates solely by email, and you need to start introducing the concepts of instant messaging and, you know, video chatting and those types of things. So I think it's going to be different for everyone. And probably the thing that I would recommend is talk to somebody about it. Find a trusted advisor that you can work with that knows your business and ask for help. If you start that process of being vulnerable and being open and saying, hey, this is new to all of us, so how are we going to capitalize on it? I don't know. Find somebody that you can work with and, you know, bounce those ideas off and start to get some feedback on what you think, you know, can drive success ultimately for your business.
I asked not a very good question, but that was a fantastic answer. Thank you very much. All right, Dave, we're going to link up UHY, your LinkedIn profile, everything else in the show notes. Is there anything else that you want to throw out there by way of people getting in touch with you? Because I'm hoping that there are going to be some people out there that are going to listen to this and think, holy crap, I got to talk to that guy because these are the problems we're trying to fix and I need to talk to Dave.
Yeah, and it may be, you know, so, you know, I'm based in St. Louis. UHY has offices all around the nation and the world. But in terms of, you know, who is that partner that you work with? Is it whether it's your, you know, your CPA firm that you work with, your external auditors, you know, find out whoever it is and start to have these types of conversations. Because I think a lot of times the service providers will be sort of, you know, it's not really a technology company, so they really don't talk about technology. When the answer is exactly the opposite. Everybody needs to be thinking about technology. And especially when you have, so, you know, in the Midwest, I would say, you know, if you're going to phrase that the companies in the Midwest are more conservative than the coasts, then that's even more reason why somebody needs to be out there talking about this. So I think, Scott, with your, you know, with this technology translated broadcast, I think these types of things are important to get this hand, to get these ideas in the hands of business people so that they can really wrap their heads around it and figure out, yep, this is what it means to me, and this is what I need to be doing about it.
Awesome. All right, everybody, you're off the leash. Go experiment. Have some fun. Whatever you've wanted to try, go do it and see what happens and see what you come up with. So, Dave, thank you very much for joining me today. This was a ton of fun. I'm glad we had a chance to catch up. Hopefully it won't be so long before the next time. And I'd love to have you back on the show. I think there's a lot of things that we could discuss in a lot more depth here. So we may have to revisit some of those topics.
Yeah, there's a lot of fertile ground here. So there's a lot to talk about. And Scott, yeah, it's great to talk to you again and look forward to communicating in the future.
All right. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And as always, if you would like to reach me, I'm at VS Ellis just about everywhere on the internet. And if you have a question, be sure to use the hashtag AskTechTrans. I will see it and I will respond, and we'll even answer some of your questions on the show. Until next week, we'll talk to you then. Technology Translated is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.